Continuing our conversation we were ending on last hour about DUIs, Lyft, and Uber and what they've done to help lower the amount of DUIs in this country. 576-7798. Want to get Robert up real quick here on KMBZ because he's been on hold for a while. Robert, thanks so much for joining us, my friend.
Hey, thank you very much for taking this call.
What's up?
I absolutely disagree with whatever that lady thinks is right.
We're going to play back Kelly. Kelly wants to raise the BAC limit to 0.1 as opposed to 0.08. We're going to play that call again here in a second, but I wanted to make sure you got up because you'd been on hold so long.
Yes. See, I am a truck driver, and I hold a Class A CDL with a hazmat endorsement, plus I have a concealed carry license. So, therefore, my blood alcohol level goes way farther down on the scale than it does for a normal average human being.
Sure.
It goes down to a 0.02. Now, yes, I live in a small town. We don't get the enjoyment of having Uber or Lyft. The next closest one is about an hour from where I live.
Where do you live, Robert?
I live in York, Nebraska.
York, Nebraska. All right. I've never heard of it, which you say it's a small town.
Yes, it's about 8,000 people.
Okay.
Now, yes, I will go and have a few drinks with some buddies at the bar or something, but I make dang sure that I have a sober driver that can come pick me up or even take me and come back and pick me up later on.
And
so I think raising the blood alcohol level is ignorance.
Well, hey, thank you for the phone call, Robert. Appreciate it. 576-7798. Glad to have you check in. Lincoln, by the way, York is 53, so about 51 miles west of Lincoln, because that's where York is. Thank you for the phone call, Robert. We appreciate it. If you missed it, this was Kelly's call last hour when we were talking about DUIs and what Lyft and Uber have done.
Hello. Hi. I was saying that I don't believe that the legal limit is fair. I think that we had Mothers Against Drunk Driving years ago get the legal limit dropped because people were dying. People were drinking and driving and killing people. And I disagree with drinking and driving. I think it's wrong. However, the legal limit is too low. The people that are getting into those accidents were not 0.08 or 0.10. They were like three times or two times the legal limit. So to me, it's not really fair to those that want to go have a couple of drinks and drive home, and then they get slammed with a DUI because they're over 0.08, which is not intoxicated.
So she wants... I can't believe people actually have that mindset. But that's what she wants. And I'm guessing she's not alone. She believes that we should let people drive drunker on the road than what we already do.
That not everybody is drunk at 0.08. That not everyone's driving is affected at 0.08. That some people are drunk and not a danger to other people on the road. And some of you are texting and claiming to agree with her. I just want to hear the arguments for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of you also think that any amount of alcohol in your system can impair you. And just because you haven't been involved in some kind of fatal accident doesn't mean you couldn't. In fact, I'm getting a couple of, you know, well, I used to drink once a week and, you know, and or drive drunk home every night. I never killed anybody.
That's not a good thing.
You act proud of it. You act proud of that. And it's and you just got lucky.
By the way, we have a poll question up at KMBZ Radio. And Kelly, thank you for inspiring this. What should the BAC level be? What should the blood alcohol content level be for a DUI? 0.05, 0.08, which it currently is, 0.1 or higher, or 0.0. What should it be? What do you think's winning right now? Just 30 votes. Had this thing up for just a couple of minutes.
I'm going to guess the vast majority think it should be 0.05.
The vast majority think it should be 0.1.
Well, there you go.
I cannot believe that you truly believe that your sons and daughters are safe driving at 16 and 17 while others are out there driving and can have an extra drink before they get on the road. That terrifies me that anyone would think that.
But they're not alone. So, again, let's hear from those of you who agree.
576-7798. Ed, you're on KMBZ. Hi, Ed. Ed, you're on the radio. I can hear him. Going once, going twice. All right, we'll come back to you, Ed. Dial us back. 576-7798. Glenn, you're on KMBZ.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning to you.
As always.
What's up, Glenn?
I don't necessarily agree with her that we should raise the limit. What I will say is that people, when they make laws about these things, and I'm pretty sure you guys are aware of this as well, they make them to the lowest common denominator. And so for most people, that whatever that limit is, that's why they put it there, because most people, if they feel that way, you know, or let me rephrase, some people, if they feel that way, are probably are impaired. You know, I can say I can go out and have a couple of beers or a couple of shots, and I'm good. It's not a point of bragging. For me, it's just a point of a fact.
Sure.
And I also ride motorcycle, and I don't drink at all when I ride motorcycle. But you got two different concepts in versus, you know, motorcycle versus car.
What's the difference, Glenn? What is the difference?
The difference is in motorcycle, you have to be completely aware of everything around you. You're not just watching the things in front of you. You're watching everyone and everything, and you have to be aware. Whereas in a car, you don't have that level of concentration because you're surrounded by steel on all four sides, whereas in a motorcycle, you're not.
Yeah, but you know what, Glenn? I want you to take it from this perspective. If I'm sober on my motorcycle, I want you to be completely aware of where I am while you're driving your four-sided steel machine. Like, doesn't, I mean, I know we like to think about ourselves, but if you slip up in your car and you bump me in a motorcycle, you're fine. I'm dead.
No, I completely agree, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. I don't. But what I'm saying is there are tolerances that some people have that other people don't. I have a sister that's been drinking her whole life, two beers, and she's on her butt.
I think we're missing the point here.
No, but let's talk about tolerance for a second. Listen, the law is what it is. The law is 0.08 for, you know, for a reason. And yeah, I think there are those of us, and you know this, Wicket, from coming from families with alcoholics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a functioning alcoholic in my family, and she could, she just had a high tolerance for alcohol. And I don't know the science behind tolerance. I don't know if that's real or if that's an illusion, that idea of tolerance. But again, the science behind blood alcohol content is that it's a percentage. And so if you're drinking more water along the way, that's going to dilute, you know, the alcohol in your blood. If you're eating along the way, that's going to reduce. So there are things that you can do while you're drinking that can reduce your BAC, that can give you a longer life.
I think we're missing the difference between blood alcohol content and how many beers you can have.
Yeah.
There's a like three beers ain't going to get me drunk, but it probably gets me close to 0.08. Three beers knocks Jamie over. And that is not a slam on you, Jamie. That is just that if you had three beers in the next 20 minutes, the show would take a turn.
Somebody just asked, could you provide some benchmark on how many drinks it takes to get to the legal limit? It's different
again,
for everybody.
That's the point.
When I lost weight, my tolerance for alcohol went down.
I watched it.
It takes me less, significantly less, to feel drunk now than it used to. It's irritating, but it's true. I just kind of know, and there are different things that hit me faster. So there's no hard and fast rule for anybody to hit that 0.08. It depends on your size,
right,
and your body mass and how much you've had to eat and what you're drinking, and that it's different for everybody.
Right. Again, it's not should the law be two beers. It's after your two beers, how are you? And if you feel a little tingly, maybe you shouldn't drive. If you feel real tingly, you should not drive. I cannot believe how many people I am seeing on social media are saying that we need to raise this BAC level.
So we've got people that agree, so we'll get to those calls.
Unbelievable. More drunk people on the roads. That's the answer. 576-7798. Nate, the phone number. A few more phone calls talking about drunk driving. This conversation began talking about how DUIs were on the downturn because of Uber and Lyft, and then we got into a conversation with one of our listeners named Kelly, who sounds like she has a bit of a drinking problem. But that being said, she wants the DUI limit raised from 0.08 to 0.1 or higher. So we're asking you if you agree with her. 576-7798. Text in 22980. We'll get some of your hits on Facebook. There's a Twitter poll we've got going on right now. You can follow us on Twitter and vote at KMBZ Radio. 40% of you believe that the drunk driving blood alcohol content limit should be raised from 0.08 to 0.1. That blows me away. More drunk people on the road is fine, is what you're saying. Steve, you're on KMBZ. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Welcome to a new week. Choo-choo. This just seems like governmental overreach to me.
Same call every time, huh, Steve? Same call every time.
Well, listen. I was the best sober driver ever because I was a 350-pound college lineman, and I couldn't get drunk. I mean, I was already tired. I lost a lot of weight after I played, but I could drink a 12-pack. It just comes down to the government is trying to take advantage of the people that cannot hold their liquor. Because if you have a 100-pound woman and she goes out to dinner and she doesn't eat anything, and I'm a 350-pound lineman and I have a steak dinner, I can drink a whole 12-pack and I can drive everybody home, and I've never had an accident in 30 years. But the government just wants their little fingers into everything.
Yeah, I mean, they want their little fingers into everything to keep drunk people off the road and to keep people alive. I don't even know why we take Steve's call. Let's just save that. And then the next time we do any topic, we'll just play. It's the same call every time from Steve. It's the government overreach call, which you're actually making the point for us. If you're at 0.07 if you're at 0.08, you shouldn't be on the road. And again, we're not saying people like Steve must not understand this. Maybe I'm not making this clear enough, Jamie. It's not, Jamie, you can have one beer and I can have one beer and that's where it is. It's when you get to 0.08, whatever gets you there, that's when you need to stop. Figure out how you cannot get to that point and be on the road.
Well, there's a reason why, if it's true, him at 350 pounds would take a lot longer to hit 0.08 mm-hmm. than somebody who's at 100 pounds because it is percentage of your blood alcohol content. He has more blood, therefore it's going to take longer to hit that limit than it would for me.
Right. Exactly.
So it makes total sense. Now, I don't want to hear anybody say, well, I drove drunk and I drove just fine and never had an accident. That's not true. I mean, you never had an accident, but you are very lucky that you didn't kill somebody.
I 100% will admit that in my life, I have gotten home and thought, wow, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Or I definitely shouldn't have done that. We've all done that. Even Fat Steve has done that. Unbelievable. All right, Freddie, you're on KMBZ. What's up, Freddie?
Hey, quickly, first of all, how many deaths are there for drunk driving? I forgot that statistic.
I don't have that number in front of me.
In the United States?
Yes.
I can look that up.
Okay, well, in the process of looking it up, I was just curious. It's a lot of people. I'm quite a bit older than you all. I can remember back in the late 70s when, you know, if you were drinking and driving in excess of 100 miles an hour, that the highway patrol would pull you over and make you pour out your booze.
Sure. Yeah.
And write you a ticket and send you on down the road.
Right. By the way, 2017, there were 37,000 people that died in traffic accidents. 10,000 were killed in drunk driving accidents. 10,800.
Okay. Well, one is too many.
I agree with you.
Having said that, I think that it's really important to acknowledge the fact that the limit of 0.08 is there because the states have to get the money for the roads. Okay?
Hold on a second. Can you reiterate that?
It's a federal law, is it not, that's mandated by the feds?
I believe
states. Down to the states?
States set their own limits.
And the states, but it's predicated on funding from the federal government for their highways and their road infrastructure is what dictates all this. And what started all this is MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, if you'll remember.
What you're saying, Freddie, is that the 0.08 was set by the government to get money for roads, not the primary function was not to keep people from driving under the influence to the point which they could not operate their vehicle?
No, I'm not. I'm just making a statement.
Well, you said that this number was predicated on funding for roads.
Well, it is, under my understanding, okay, as it relates to the funding. Now, as it relates to driving, I believe under the influence is all predicated, as you guys have been discussing, on one's tolerance.
Okay.
I know people that can drink a beer and go out and crash into a wall. I know people that can drink all night and go out and keep it between the lines and never have an issue. But I'm not in agreement that they should increase it or decrease it. I don't care because I don't drink and drive that much anymore. I used to do it all the time.
I'm glad you don't anymore, Freddie. I want to squeeze in one more before the news, and we thank you for your phone call. Glad to hear you don't do it anymore, and no one should. Gary, you're on KMBZ.
Yeah, I could tell you, it was .12. Missouri wanted to keep it .12. Now, the next thing is, I don't know that they have a idea in the world, research, that drunk driving at particular point levels cause how many accidents. And the carnage it costs in lost jobs, lost money and whatever, the expenses of these lawyers, they probably ought to have a two-tier judicial system that says, okay, you have .1, this happens to you. If you have .1, .5, the next happens to you. Because I don't think they have the statistics that are that good that prove .1 does it.
So. Well, I can tell you this. China has a .02 BAC limit, all right? That is much lower than what we have in the United States. China has a 4% rate of road accidents involving death that include alcohol. 4% of all the road accidents that include deaths include alcohol in the relationship. That makes sense, Jamie?
Yeah.
The United States, the percentage of road accident deaths involving alcohol, 31%. Again, 4% of China and their much lower BAC level, 4% of their accident deaths involving alcohol, 4% in China, 31% in the United States. I mean, there's a number for you. There's a statistic for you right there. Germany has 0.03 and 9% of the road accident deaths involve alcohol in Germany. Again, the United States, 31%. It's on our Facebook page. We're going to move on. If you didn't get a chance to get in, you can vote on Twitter. Let us know on social media. We'll... Then he jumped into the stands. That was Greg Gumbel over on CBS from Sunday. Midday with Jamie and Wicket. Some news about the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes right there threw a touchdown pass on Sunday at Arrowhead in the win. And he broke Len Dawson's record, which was a 54-year-old record for the most touchdown passes thrown in a season. You know what that got him? And what this season has gotten him? Travis, you see who's on the cover of the new Sports Illustrated?
Welcome to the Jinx.
Well, there's a lot of people. If you don't know, if you're ever on the cover of Sports Illustrated, generally you are jinxed, and that is not good. There could be an injury, a slump, whatever.
Wait, and when has that happened?
Always. Travis, find the history of this SI jinx.
I can tell you right now, off the top of my head, Tom Brady was it right before the start of the season, and then gets a season-ending knee injury. A boxer. One of the top boxers was on Sports Illustrated, got knocked out the first round.
Michael Spinks.
There was another one, I think it was another football player on there, injured the second game of the season. It happens every single time a top player is on Sports Illustrated. It's just like the Madden curse. Mm-hmm. If you ever play the video game Madden, and for some reason you're so good that you get to be on the cover of Madden, you've either been hurt or you sucked that season.
Yep, it's a jinx. It's a curse. Nobody ever wants to be. And there was actually, I remember one issue of Sports Illustrated. The cover of the issue was a black cat because it said the issue no one would pose for because people actually believe in the jinx. Most recently, God, there's so many of them. If you check it out online, let's see. March 12th, 2018, they had Virginia on the cover of Sports Illustrated en route to the NCAA tournament. Virginia became the very first number one seed to ever lose to a 16 seed, UMBC. Yeah. So Patrick Mahomes is now on the cover of your Sports Illustrated 6 days before the biggest football game of the year. And probably the biggest regular season game the Chiefs have had in a long, long time as they're going to go play in Mexico City against the Rams. And if you want to check it out, it's up on Facebook and on Twitter at KMBZ Radio. And it's about the next dimension. Andy Reid creating football's future. Patrick Mahomes is living it. And there's Mahomes throwing a touchdown pass, probably that one we just heard on CBS against the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday. But the other question concerning the Kansas City Chiefs is Monday's game. Now, they're supposed to play in Mexico City.
At what stadium?
I want to get it officially right, so give me a moment. I'm sure I'm going to butcher the name. Something Spanish Stadium.
While you're looking that up, can I just give you a stat real quick?
Yeah.
So if you type into Google Sports Illustrated cover jinx, it takes you all the way back to 1954 to when the first jinx happened to the Milwaukee Brewers third baseman Eddie Matthews. Became the first person to appear on the covers of Sports Illustrated. The Braves would have a 9-game winning streak snapped and a broken hand later because Matthews to miss 7 games.
See? SI, the jinx, man. It's real. I believe in it. They were supposed to play
Estadio Azteca.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm looking. I got a story just out of USA Today because I wanted a picture of what the field looks like. And so correct me on whatever this might be wrong. So the game was slated as the 3rd annual Mexico game. And like last year's game at Estadio Azteca, the NFL is now raising serious concerns about the venue. It switched to a hybrid turf of both synthetic and natural grass this year, and it's been unable to hold up for the stadium's busy schedule of hosting concerts and soccer matches.
Great.
So I've got a picture of what it looks like, and Yahoo Sports just says, ooh, it was left like this after a concert just 9 days before the Rams and the Chiefs will play there. What it looks like, I don't know what I'm seeing, but it looks like the field is torn up quite
a bit. Ripped.
Yeah, okay. Is that what it is? It's ripped?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not a grass stadium, and it's not a synthetic field. It's a hybrid, which that is the big question or the big problem. When you mix the two together, it's not an easy fix.
And some of it got burn marks from the concert that they had by Shakira.
Okay, that's what it looks. It was a Shakira concert.
She had the layout. If you remember, and you've seen pictures of Taylor Swift, she had a layout of that, and some of the markings burned the ground. And then that was on like a Wednesday. That weekend, they had 2 soccer games play there.
Wow. My Lord. Now, I don't know who you blame, because now they're debating moving that football game because of player safety. Because if the field is no good, players can't plant and pivot and turn, and player safety becomes an option.
So this says the NFL...
Or a concern, excuse me.
What day was the story written? This was written yesterday. Okay. So as of yesterday, they said the NFL will mobilize there today and tomorrow to see if surgery will be needed on the field before the game.
Surgery?
What did they say? Okay, so forecasts in Mexico City are calling for rain for the next 3 days. And so, again, the NFL has sent a team to assess field conditions. Significant worry about the playing surface made soupy by heavy rains in this year's rainy season. Last year, an earthquake in Mexico City had the NFL reviewing the stadium's condition before giving the Patriots-Raider game the green light. Okay, let me ask you this. What's the latest they can make this decision?
Oh, it's got to, I mean... Probably today, or maybe tomorrow, because they would have to find a place they can play. Now, they can put this game, they could put it at Arrowhead. They could put it at where the Rams play in Los Angeles. They could move it, somebody who doesn't have a home game in the NFL, they could move it there. The thing is, a lot of different things. You have so many people in Kansas City and LA, more so in Kansas City, that are making the trip, have already bought their packages. You know, their airline, their hotel, whatever. It becomes a disaster for those that, let's say 10,000, and this is probably low, let's say 10,000 Kansas Cityans, 10,000 Chiefs fans are going to make the trek down there. Now, all of a sudden, do they have to rebook hotels and travel and redo travel plans to Los Angeles? Or, I mean, I don't know if the Cowboys play at home, Travis, but Dallas seems to be a good spot to play a football game.
Well, I read a tweet from one of the NFL officials, and per NFL rules, if this game is canceled, it has to go back to the Coliseum where the Rams play.
Okay.
But if that game is not, if there's, let's just say there's a soccer match going on at the Coliseum. If there's a soccer game going on, then it has to go to a neutral site. So if it's Mexico City, Rams, and then a neutral site, so it will not come to Kansas City at all.
One of the things, too, you have to realize is ESPN, who carries Monday Night Football, needs a game on Monday.
Right.
And I don't know if you flex a game out now, if you take a whatever, I haven't looked at the slate, but you take the next best game on the slate and move it to Monday. But again, people have tickets, people have travel plans, people have hotels booked. It becomes a nightmare to move this game. All that being said, Travis, if you're watching and Patrick Mahomes drops back and part of that field slides out from under him and Patrick Mahomes' ACL pops and is done for the year, or if that happens to Jared Goff, the quarterback for the Rams, then the NFL has egg on their face because they allowed this to happen.
It goes back to the Hall of Fame game. I think that might have been 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Two players got hurt. Two players tore the ACL. And NFL player says, we will not play another Hall of Fame game unless you give us a new grass or turf to play
on. And they canceled it the following year. They canceled the game because the field was so hard. It was the other way. The field, like, melted.
Right.
It was so hard that it melted, and they couldn't play a football game on it.
And I guess, so I'm also reading that the last thing to come for this game is that you would postpone it later on in the season.
But again, what do you do for Monday night?
Right.
There's a lot of ABC money.
You would have to move a game from Sunday, let's just say either 12 o'clock or 3:25 game, and they go to Monday night.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I have two questions, actually.
Fire away.
This is the third. They've done it in Mexico City 3 years in a row, or they've just done it in Mexico 3 years in a row?
They've
done it at the stadium last year, because that story just said that.
Mm-hmm.
Why continue to plan this game in a stadium that has had problems in the past without, like, the city of here's what you do. After last year's game, if there were concerns after last year's game with the turf, you go to whomever, the city of Mexico City or whoever's in charge of that stadium, and you say, the only way we're going to do a game at your stadium next year, because no doubt the city of Mexico City is making serious money off this game being there, you say the only way we're going to have, you have to guarantee us and promise us that you're not going to have any events at this stadium for 2 weeks before
a month.
Whatever it takes, you know, whatever time it would take to fix the field after an event that would tear it up. And the city's got to promise you that.
Well, the reason they keep picking this place, you're wondering why? Its capacity is 87,000. All right, it's the biggest stadium in Mexico. The next biggest is 48,000. They make a lot of money when they put this one at whatever the name of it is, at Estadio Azteca.
And somebody else suggested, isn't there another stadium in Mexico? Somebody suggested a university stadium. I'm going to guess Mexico City University of Mexico Stadium is not holding 87,000 people. That's
correct.
What somebody suggested. And so that's my first question. And I don't remember my second one now. That was the other one. Is there anywhere else in Mexico City they could move it?
They could. No. Yeah, I mean, they could, but you would lose 30,000 seats. You would lose 40,000 seats.
Okay, so for all the people that have travel plans, is anybody listening that's got travel plans to go?
Good question.
And what are you doing? What are you thinking about?
576-7798. Anybody going to Mexico City for the Chiefs and the Rams Monday night? And how much are your trip is in jeopardy? Like, would you still go?
How many of your hotels are non-refundable?
Mm.
And how much? I assume the answer to this is none. But does the NFL or whoever makes this decision have any financial obligation to the 87,000 ticket holders and however many of those are buying flights to Mexico City and hotels in Mexico City? Do they have any financial obligation to the people that are going to be out money if this game moves? I assume the NFL doesn't have to do anything, but will they?
I was going to say, I don't think they would, because this is no different than when the Buccaneers had a hurricane happen, they canceled that game.
Yeah.
So, think about how many tickets from, I think they were playing the Panthers, how many people came down from Carolina that couldn't go to that game, and they weren't refunded.
Mm-hmm.
But this flight is more expensive. You know, this is a bigger, this is farther. I get that they don't have to, but that stinks. That stinks if you've got plans to go to Mexico City for this game, that nobody is compensating you for what you may be out.
No.
If you, you know, didn't, like when I went last week, whatever it was, my tickets were on Southwest. I am sure some of your tickets are on Southwest, but I assume a lot of you book through another airline where you don't just get your credit. You know, so anybody got tickets and you're going?
576-7798. 576-7798. You can also text in 22980. The NFL has spoken about it today. There's an update. I'll tell you what Adam Schefter from ESPN has to say about that field that game, that stadium, and the Monday Nighter. We'll do that coming up next here on 98.1 KMBZ. Monticelli, Mike Wickett. We are talking about Monday Night Football and the game in Mexico City. If you're going and want to watch the Chiefs and Rams, you already have plans, give us a call, 576-7798, because it is becoming a story now. The field is garbage after a Shakira concert and two soccer matches at Azteca?
Yes.
All right.
Someone suggested on the text line that they move it to the big stadium at the University of Mexico City, basically. I am ashamed to admit that I did not realize before we went to break that when I was in Mexico City 2 weeks ago, I was there. And I have pictures of it. It seats 72,000. You told me that the stadium where they're supposed to play has a capacity of 87. Okay, so this seats 72,000. And when it was used for the Olympics, they had it seating about 84,000. I don't know what the particulars would be of it being able to house this game or not, but it's got the capacity almost.
What I'm looking at right now is a picture that it was when it was used for the this was a picture from 2016.
Yeah,
Travis, this looks like, I don't know if you can picture this in your head, but it looks like a football stadium, a football field with a track around it. There's a 6-lane track.
That makes sense.
Can an NFL team play with a 6-lane track all the way around like in a high school stadium?
They could, but this could come back to the Reggie Bush incident because there's a stadium he played in towards the ACL, and now most NFL teams will not allow football teams to play where a track is.
Also, I don't think the press box area is nearly big enough to house the amount of media that's going to be there. Hmm. Like that picture off on the right-hand side of this. Mm-hmm. And it's a good idea capacity-wise by the person, but I just don't think it's modern enough. I don't think it's updated enough to house this game.
How's its field? Better? Is the field torn apart? Is the field in good shape?
576-7798. Jose, you're on KMBZ. What's up, Jose?
Good morning. Well, I think it's going to be a bad deal because we're already, I'm in about $4,000 in it with me and my family.
And how many people?
Christmas trip. Five. My three kids, and my wife, and myself. And I just talked to a couple guys in Mexico City, and they told me that they're going to take care of the field, you know?
They are going to, some people you've spoken to?
The field's
going to
be ready. Uh-huh.
Huh. How are they going to do that?
Well, I don't know. Probably magic. You know, you're in Mexico.
So you've spent $4,000 so far to go?
Yes, sir. Between hotel, tickets, and airfare.
Are you originally from Mexico?
Yes, sir.
And you have family down there, friends down there you're going to hang out with, I'm assuming?
We're going, so no matter what, because, I mean, we cannot go to another place. We're already planned, you know.
What did tickets cost to the game?
I had to pay $200 per each.
Jeez.
We're going to be up high, you know.
Yeah. You're $200 up high.
How much of your trip is non-refundable, the whole thing?
I think I got smart and put the insurance on my airfare only.
Okay.
I don't know what's going to happen to the tickets or my hotel.
All right.
Good luck to you, Jose. Best of luck, man. That's if I had already spent $4,000 and most of it's not refundable, I'm still going to Mexico, you know? Hey.
Yeah, and so Travis just, Laura Moritz from Channel 9 is in Mexico City, and she just tweeted out 2 minutes ago that they are in the stadium right now checking the field. She's got pictures from the field, so we'll let you know what she finds.
ESPN's Adam Schefter tweeted this out. This dude's really reliable. He tweeted out, discussions continue about whether Monday night's Chiefs-Rams game will be played in Mexico City, L.A., or postponed. Per sources, NFL determined to play it Monday night in Mexico City, but the field is, quote, a mess and might not be safe for players. Schefter says it is a significant concern. Ivan, you're on KMBZ. What's up, Ivan?
Hey, what's going on? I'm going to the game.
You're going?
Yes, sir.
Are you worried that there might not be a game to go to?
Well, you guys are making me get worried. I'm not worried, really.
How much of your trip is refundable?
I think the whole thing, it's going to be five of us, and I only spent $2,200, really.
Just on yourself?
No, for five people.
$2,200 for five? Wow, okay. What, can I ask what airline you're flying?
Well, it's going to be I think it's Delta.
Well, wow. Okay. $2,200, five people in Delta. You're a good shopper, Ivan. Good luck, man. And look, it's just the fear-mongering media that's really making you worry about this. But they are literally inside the stadium right now checking it out, according to Lara Lawrence. Mm-hmm. They're in the stadium. let's get Tamara up real quick. Tamara, you're on KMBZ. Oh, I should hit the button. Tamara, you're on KMBZ now. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay. You going to go to the game or?
I wish I could go to the game. I can say that my mother grew up in Britain, and our cousins purchased the tickets for my mother and my sister to go to the London, England game when the Chiefs played there. Had they had to rearrange plans, I don't think they would have gone. We have family over there, so they didn't have a hotel room, but it would have been a catastrophic mess to work out the logistics to move it to somewhere else after everything has been purchased. I guess what I don't understand is, and maybe we're spoiled in Kansas City with a grounds crew like the one that we have at Kauffman, why can't they fix the field?
It's a great question. My answer to that would be it's real bad. It's a hybrid of real grass and synthetic grass.
So they can't just resod the whole thing.
Right.
Some of it's fake.
They would literally need to pull the entire thing out and start over in a week or in five days.
Even.
And I don't think that we have you can't physically do that. I'm not an agronomist, but.
And maybe you can, but you can't wait until the last minute to make that decision. You